tuned into the Urban Brunch on UJFM 95.4. It's a Financial Thursday. It's time for us to get into our financial conversation with Charlotte Glindy. She's joining us on the line. And in recent conversations, we've been talking about securing a home loan. We've talking about property as an investment. And in those conversations, there is a term that appeared, and that term was credit life insurance. And we've had a couple of people asking us, what is this credit life insurance that Charlotte keeps talking about? Can she talk about this as a topic on its own? And we have her on the line, and she's going to talk to us about that. Charlotte, welcome back to the Urban Brunch.
Hi, Lila. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, so let's talk about credit life insurance. As I've said, we've spoken about this briefly in our past conversations, but we've had people that actually just really want to know what credit life insurance is. What is it?
Credit life insurance is basically life insurance, but for your credit. So some life insurance policies will have credit life embedded in them, mm-hmm. Some and most don't. So credit life insurance, you can't have credit life insurance if you don't have credit. For example, for you to even have credit life insurance, you need to have credit that is currently outstanding, that you're working towards paying or you are currently paying. And that's the only way you can actually get credit life. And the difference between life insurance and credit life is like credit life insurance premium reduced if your debt reduces as well, and your credit life insurance does never pay you as an individual, but rather pays the person that you actually owe money to.
Okay, I see. So how does one then acquire credit life insurance? Is it an automatic thing, or do I then have to go and apply with certain agencies to get credit life insurance?
In most cases, most credit providers, like for example your furniture shops, In most cases, have credit life within the credit that they actually give you. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily go and preempt it and apply for it. But when you're getting credit, they will tell you if that particular credit that you're getting has credit life, and you have the option to actually deny the credit life that they are giving you and go get your own credit life insurer if you have someone or insurance to actually give you credit life.
Okay, I see. So if it's an automatic thing, do they tell me how much they are going to take from the premium that I'm possibly paying? Or is this an amount that we will negotiate? How does it actually work in terms of how much I am paying of what I am paying on my premium of my furniture or my house installment, whatever the case might be?
Okay, so unfortunately enough, in most cases, the providers of credit don't actually highlight it to the people they're providing credit to or to the customers to say that in this 500 Rand premium that you will be paying every month, 50 Rand is actually going towards credit life, which will then mean that when it comes such a time that you require it, you can claim from it and so forth and so forth. So people end up not being aware of what is in the actual premium. So it's your responsibility as a customer to ask if there is credit life in your premium, but it's also the responsibility of the credit provider to tell you, but that's not always the case. So you get that the credit provider just tells you, know, this is 500 Rand, you pay 500 Rand every month, but they don't break it down to you to say, this 500 Rand is an administration fee, there's a credit life fee, and there's probably a damages fee that you pay for whatever, and so forth and so forth. So people also don't take it upon themselves to read their credit contract, because sometimes you get people who don't understand English or are not really clued up in the contractual terms in the contract, but just sign away everything, and they're never aware that they have credit life that is in the credit that they've actually taken. So when things go bad, they can't claim from the insurance because they are not even aware that they have the insurance. So in essence, they're paying for nothing.
Sure. So I was actually just about to ask, if you are not made aware of the fact that part of the money you are paying is actually going towards credit life insurance, if I do need to access or I've lost income and I need to make use of that credit life, will I be able to make use of it if I don't know? Like, will your credit provider automatically pay it for you, or will they just, keep the money for themselves?
your credit provider, remember, the more you don't pay your the amount that you owe your credit provider, the higher the interest. So it's not their duty to claim from the credit life for you. Because remember, credit life pays when something unfortunate happens to you.
Yeah.
So you would need to then be the one that takes the responsibility to claim from the credit provider. But there is a credit ombudsman that regulates all these things, whereby if you were not made aware of, you signed a contract and the jargon was not appealing to you, or you didn't understand it, and now you, let's say you are, you need to claim from your credit life insurance and you're not made aware of it, the ombudsman intervenes in such cases. But then again, you will also need to go to the ombudsman, which now it will mean that you need to find out who is the credit ombudsman, who intervenes when things are not going well in credit, who do you go to? And that's a whole different procedure on its own. So I think the safest way is that people should understand that every debt that you take, 90% of the time, you have credit life attached to that particular debt, and that particular credit life you are paying for every month, and only you can claim from that credit life insurance. Unless if the credit provider also takes up credit life on the debt that you have. And in that case, they will then claim from that particular debt if you alert them to say, unfortunately now, I can't do this anymore. I can't pay you guys anymore. This and this and this. And if they sometimes will help you and tell you, okay, fine. Fortunately enough, you've been paying for this. So we're going to claim from this particular insurance because you no longer can pay. And that's about it.
So are there any prerequisites to getting credit life insurance apart from the fact that you just need to be taking out credit? Like maybe is there a certain amount that you need to be paying credit off before you can get credit life insurance? Or even if you are taking, if you've taken a credit where you are paying 10 rand a month, can you still get credit life insurance?
No, unfortunately enough, for you to actually, there's nothing that you can do about it. So for you to get credit life, you just need credit. There's nothing else you can preempt. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just insurance for when things go wrong. So credit life insurance is for maybe at one point you're not going to be employed. At one point you're going to be retrenched. At one point you might lose your life. And your debts will be there. So you don't want to burden anybody else with your debt. So that insurance settles your debt, or that insurance provides relief when you can't meet any of your monthly premiums with whatever credit that you might actually have. So that insurance jumps in to be able to actually pay off all those premiums. So I think it's important that people understand that credit life is insurance for when unforeseen circumstances actually occur and you no longer have income and you're unable to meet your monthly commitments.
Okay, so when we talk about unforeseen circumstances, we're talking about maybe if you get retrenched or you lose a job or anything like that. So if you decide to quit a job and you are no longer earning an income but you still have credit, are you covered then for credit life insurance?
No, unfortunately, you're not covered for credit life if, let's say, you decide to resign from your job, because that is a decision. You thought about it and you took it upon yourself to resign from your work. So you will no longer be covered under credit life. Credit life will only cover you. That's why I said unforeseen circumstances.
Okay.
Circumstances, meaning when you are retrenched, when, if unfortunately you pass on, if you lose your job, if you become disabled, or if you become also temporarily disabled that you can't fulfill your work. Let's say your hand doesn't work temporarily because you went for an operation and you're a construction worker and you have credit life. Then you can claim from it because your source of income is that hand and now you're no longer able to use that hand. Therefore, you are temporarily disabled and can claim from credit life. So another thing is it requires a lot of documentation. So if you're temporarily disabled, you need to provide the certificate that says you're temporarily disabled. If you are retrenched, you need to provide a retrenchment letter. Mm-hmm. If you are then disabled for life, or if you are, you no longer are able to work due to a chronic illness, you provide that as well. So, and obviously, for in terms of death, if it happens that you do pass on, your family can provide your death certificates to the credit life insurances that you have, or to the credit providers that you had credit with, for them to claim from your credit life. And And I think it's for people to also understand that in most credit life insurance policies, it's only settled at death. So in that credit life, so you need to first understand, do I have credit life? And when you do have credit life, you need to further understand, okay, fine, what happens if I die? They will tell you, okay, when it comes to passing on, we will settle your debt. What happens if I get retrenched? They will tell you, we have a period or a duration where we meet your commitments for you. Let's say we will only meet your commitments for 24 months. So after 24 months, you need to take them on again. So in 24 months, meaning in 2 years after retrenchment, you still don't have work. That means your credit life is done. That means the insurance for the years you were covered for, you are covered and it's finished. So people need to also take that into account when they look at into their credit life, because then you have some credit life policies that say we cover you for loss of income due to these particular things, meaning retrenchment, disability, and loss of life. So we cover you until such a time that you can regain income again. Did you understand?
Or makes sense.
And when these happen, we settle your debt completely. So those are the things you need to look into after you have established that you have credit life, to check what does the contract between you and the insurance provider say about the credit life insurance that they're providing to you.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Dominique has a question regarding credit life.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, Dominique.
So I wanted to find out, say you have a house and you've been paying it for the past 10 years and all of a sudden you don't have a job, right? Does that mean they will settle the remainder of the 10 years, or do they tell you that maybe we settle the first year of your payments and you have to settle the rest?
Okay. Dominique, it would depend. That's why I said it's important to understand what you signed for. Mm-hmm. So in some cases, you would have something called bond cover. It's also something, because it is like credit life, but it covers your bond payments. So in that, you have the option to say how long or what's the duration you want to be covered for during loss of income.
Mm-hmm.
So in some credit life insurance policies, when you take it up with them, they will tell you, we will cover you or settle you when there's an uncertainty of when you will be able to receive income. Then we will settle the credit that you have. But then the fee for that particular cover will be different. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But if another thing, if they say to you, we will cover you for 2 years, and if you wish to extend the number of years in which we want to cover you for, you will pay an additional 10 Rand to your monthly credit life premium so that we cover you for an additional 7 years or so forth and so forth.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
You.
Yeah, perfectly. So we've got a question as well coming through from our WhatsApp line from Mandisa. Mandisa wants to know, if I die and my family has no knowledge of me having credit life insurance for maybe some of my debts, is that something that can be made known to them in any way, or do I then forfeit having to pay that and they then take the responsibility of the debts that I might have incurred?
Due to loss of life, so whenever you have credit life, at the moment where there's loss of life, it settles your debt. So unfortunately enough, if you are not making your family aware and they're not aware of these things, and if the credit provider fails to actually take up the responsibility of making them aware that your debt is settled, it then lies with you. It's like a two-way thing. You need to have told somebody type of thing. That's why we have wills where you state even the intricacies of your estate to say what happens when you actually are no longer here. So unfortunately enough, Mandisa, if your family is not aware that you have credit life and the credit provider does not perform the duty of making them aware, and another thing, if you have credit life insurance and you do pass on and it's settled, nobody can repossess your stuff. Nobody can repossess the items in which you were given credit for, and they have nobody to attach the credit to, then automatically your family should be wondering, you know, How is it that nothing is being taken? This person is no longer alive and so forth. And communication is important, which is people are actually failing to do today. People are afraid to tell people, like I have debt, and my debt is covered. So I think the moment you get into the habit of actually communicating about our finances with the people close to us, it also empowers them to be able to continue and not be burdened when you actually are no longer here. So that's the idea behind Credit Life, is that nobody should carry your debt for you. And you actually preempting for the worst and preparing for the worst. So when the worst does happen, make it a point that the right people are aware, or put it in your will. You don't even have to tell anybody. You just write it in your will to say, for these debts, this and this will get circled. This and this and this will get settled. And you make it a point as well that your life cover does not actually then go out and settle your debt. So the person that is helping you prepare a will, if you haven't, it's free. Go prepare one. Keep a copy of it. Make somebody aware that at such a time that I'm no longer here, kindly go and look for my will from this place. And just write everything down. We have the luxuries of being able to say what we want to say when we're no longer here. And with a will, it can be carried out for you.
Okay. And then the last question, does Credit Life Insurance assist those that have been blacklisted?
Yes. So Credit Life Insurance does not discriminate. Let's say also you are blacklisted because you have not been able to meet your monthly commitments with the credit provider. But you've had Credit Life the whole time. So I think the ombudsman right now is working on holding the credit providers liable for not making you aware of the credit that, or the credit insurance that you might have. So the credit insurer cannot blacklist you if you have been paying for the premiums and they didn't make you aware, but it's your responsibility to go claim. But they didn't make you aware, you didn't know that your contract had Credit Life in it, and therefore you were blacklisted because you couldn't meet your monthly premiums for 6 months. Meanwhile, there's been a credit insurance that you've been paying, and even now when you're about to pay again, you're still going to pay for that Credit Life insurance that you didn't claim from. Then the ombudsman, that's when you go to the credit ombudsman to say, this is my situation, this is what happened, and then they intervene, and then they can backdate for those premiums that were not met to actually be able to pay. And that's when you can go to the actual, I think blacklisting is the wrong term, to where you have been listed as a bad payer, and just say, I actually dispute this listing from this credit provider because of these particular reasons. Because remember, when somebody goes and says blacklist, in terms of where you put it, if somebody goes and lists you at the credit, as somebody who does it, who's not a good payer, you are at the opportunity to dispute if you disagree, to say, no, this is wrong. They can't list me because of this and this and this. We're undergoing a process right now of finding out why we actually are, why I am listed. So the people can actually try and go to the ombudsman, get back the money that they have actually been blacklisted for, to actually pay the same credit provider. But even if, let's say, you are blacklisted and you had credit insurance with a different company, your credit the credit insurance will still pay the creditor just like any other person would. The only thing that's different is that you have defaulted on payments and you are seen as a customer that will not meet commitments, and that's about it. But the credit insurance will still pay. So people should check. Prior to you being blacklisted, did you have credit insurance? Did the credit provider actually know that you had credit insurance? And also, people must take the responsibility of checking their contracts, especially credit contracts, to say, what am I getting into here? And just something that people are not aware, the credit insurance Credit Life is actually regulated. So you can also just calculate for yourself to see that. So for insecure or unsecure lending, meaning your credit cards, your clothing accounts, your furniture and all of that, your furniture accounts and all of that, if it's insecure lending in any way, it's regulated that for every 1,000 rand that you owe the credit provider, you are supposed to pay 4.50 rand. So So okay. let's say you owe 4,000 rand. That means your credit life insurance is 18 rand in that month. If the amount goes down and you now owe 2,000 rand, that means your credit life insurance should have gone down in that month and now you owe 9 rand. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is for all your credit cards. Things that they can't repossess back or things that can deteriorate to a point that they cannot regain their money from them. But for secured lending, like your property, sometimes your cars, something that they can repossess, sell, and get back the money that you still owed on that particular credit amount, it is called secured lending. And the credit life insurance for that is 2 rand to 2 rand 50 per every 1,000 rand. So let's say you owe 1,000 rand for your house, and that's the only thing that's remaining. It will mean that your credit life insurance for that particular month is 2 rand or 2 rand 50, depending on what your contract says. If it's 2,000 rand, your credit life insurance will be 4 rand or 5 rand, depending on what your contract says. So then if you want additions on your credit life, the basis will be that 2 rand, and then they will tell you. So if we settle it, there's no difference. The moment at death, they will not make you pay extra. If by any case, you pass on, something unfortunate happens, you're no longer here, it will settle. No matter how much you were paying, it will settle whatever credit that you had credit life for. But if it so happens that you lose your job or you become permanently disabled and you are no longer able to earn income, permanent disability, it does settle as well. If you are temporarily disabled and you are unable to get income, it will give you for the period in which you are covered for. If you are retrenched, it will give you the period in which you are covered for. Do you understand?
Makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So the last one. This is the last question I'm taking. We have one coming through from Robert on our WhatsApp line. He asks, if I was blacklisted and after hearing this conversation, I understand that I might have been insured, how then do I have a time period where I am able to then query that credit with the ombudsman, or can I go even if it's been 2 years later?
You can go for as long as the credit is still there and you are blacklisted for a credit that you might have had credit insurance for.
Mm-hmm.
You can then approach the credit ombudsman to say, I am querying this blacklisting because the credit provider, and also remember, financial literacy right now is a big deal because the ombudsman is there to say, I was not aware, as much as it was my responsibility, when I signed this contract, they lumped up the whole amount to 500 rand. They did not break it down for me in the contract to say 500 rand is for this, 10 rand is for this. So you can also query that. Or you can go back and say, listen, ombudsman, I'm blacklisted. Mm-hmm. The credit provider knows exactly that I do have credit life for this insurance, but did not make me aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. Your debt does not expire. That's why people will say, oh, no, we will blacklist you, and you will have to settle the debt. For the duration that you still owe, you can go to your ombudsman, your credit ombudsman, and request that this is looked into, and you can then go and dispute the debt. The problem is when people get blacklisted, they don't query the debt, they don't see the options, they start paying. Remember, when someone says, I'm going to blacklist you, the moment that you pay, you're admitting fault, you're admitting guilt. Unless if you have been defaulting, if they blacklisted you, but you still want to query, you go and you say, it's okay, I am blacklisted, inverted commas, but I am querying this blacklisting because there should be something in place that helps me or whatever, whatever. But the ombudsman is there for resolution purposes, meaning that I've been paying for blacklisting, but I believe I might have credit life insurance. Or you can even contact the credit provider and say, listen, I think I might have credit life with you. Can you give me my contract? I actually want to read it. Can you actually make it a point that you translate my contract into layman's terms so that I can be able to read my contract, or change it into Zulu so that I can actually understand in detail what you are saying to me?
Okay.
Because at the end of the day, it is always people fail to take up the cooling period. You have 7 days to agree to whatever. or you have 7 days to dispute and say, I still don't understand. I want you to tell me word for word what you are saying. And people don't do that until it's too late.
Mm.
But to Robert, I think, go back. You can go query your debt. For as long as you still owe someone, you are at liberty to actually go and find out what is the best way that you can actually be able to pay that debt, especially when you have limited resources and you believe that you would have been able to meet those monthly payments and you were retrenched when you were blacklisted. Also, people must understand, you didn't have income or your contract ended in the time that you were blacklisted or for the period that you are blacklisted for, or you were retrenched or you were in hospital. So that's why you didn't have loss of income. So the ombudsman will want you to also prove your loss of income for them to actually go and check the credit life insurance for that period you are blacklisted for.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. I think we'll just wrap it up with that one. For people that want to get in touch with you to engage you on anything finance related, how can they get in touch?
Okay. As usual, I think those people that I only started responding to yesterday, I've been quite busy. So it's info@blackprinceinvestments.co.za and it's charlottecindy@gmail.com also if you want to. And it's chef.cindy on Instagram and it's chef.cindy on Twitter. You can DM me, but I'm not on Facebook, so yeah.
All right, Charlotte, thank you so much for taking time out to speak to us. We always appreciate your wisdom that you share with us, and we'll be in touch next week.
All righty. Thank you, Bulele.
Awesome stuff. Bye. That was Charlotte Cindy chatting to us about credit life insurance this morning. Remember to follow her on social media, shaz.cindy on Instagram and Twitter. She's not on Facebook. You're welcome to send her a DM, and she will assist you where she can.